for this weekend because we've been praying because we're going to be coming more often to help Dot and Les and you in the church. And we're coming in faith that God is going to build, increase, grow. We're going to see God do things in this city, this great city of London. And I'm excited about it because I like a challenge. And actually, Mike and I didn't know he was going to speak on Joshua, but that is really also in my heart. The Joshua generation in 2005, God put that so deep in our hearts that the Joshua generation is coming forth, taking the inheritance. And Caleb is also always one of my heroes, 85 years old, and he said, "Give me the mountain that you promised me 45 years ago." And actually, the name Caleb means dog or a mad dog. Canine is like a dog, and Caleb comes from that, and he was like a mad dog. And you know, dogs, when they bite on that stick and they have it in their mouth, you can pick them up, you can do what you want. My daughter has a little Jack Russell, and he's crazy, crazy dog. And when he bites on that stick, you can pick him up, twirl him around, he won't let it go. And Caleb bit into something that God promised him, that he saw, that his feet actually touched on. He was a man of faith. And he had to wait a long time with other people that didn't really believe. Sometimes we have to come to a unity of faith. Yes. And there is a timing, there is a waiting, and you just want to press in. And this guy held on, and at 85, now that's why he's my hero. I'm not 85 yet, but it's always great to have people a little older than you who are still radical, like Les just prayed, still running, and that inspires you. Well, if they're still alive at 85 with faith, that helps you to keep on going. Amen. And so at 85, he said, "Give me the mountain." And I like it. Well, we'll see this a little. But anyway, the mountain that he wanted was Hebron, and that was actually called the biggest of all of the giants lived on that mountain. It was the greatest stronghold that there was in the land. It said Arba, the largest of all of the giants. That was his mountain, and that's the mountain that God gave him. And at 85, in God's time, he said, "I have as much strength today as I had 45 years ago." So faith will keep you strong. Faith will keep you alive. And a vision will give you vitality. Hallelujah. And so he transformed the name of that mountain. It had a new name after he went up there. He took it. And so I believe that God can transform really mountains of opposition. And by faith, giants and strongholds can come down. And that's what this weekend, and these weekends are all about. They really are about training, not just teaching you, but training you to exercise your faith, to release your faith, and to go out and together see what God wants to do. So I have a few points on my heart that I want to share. I really feel like God quickened some things to me when we were praying about coming, and I hope it's a word that will go into your spirit and stay in your spirit, that you can keep praying and will bring you into the next level. Anyway, in the book of Joshua, chapter 3, we're going back before they even crossed over, and the first thing, they had to really cross the Jordan to get into the promised land, but I don't want to talk about that. But there is one or two verses here I want to say. Actually, I'm going to be reading from the Message Bible because I got a little tired of reading my same old Bible, and I said I need to be shaken up and have something different. So I started reading the Message through. So I thought it was pretty good, so I'll read that if you think it doesn't sound the same. But anyway, Joshua 3, he called the leaders in verse 1 or 2. He called the leaders who went throughout the camp and gave out orders to the people. When you see the covenant chest or the Ark of the Covenant of God, your God, carried by the Levitical priests, start moving. Follow it. Make sure you keep a proper distance between you and it, about half a mile. Be sure now to keep your distance, and you'll see clearly the route to take. You've never been on this road before. And then Joshua addressed the people, sanctify yourselves. Tomorrow, God will work miracle wonders among you. Okay, God really did put those points on my heart that, what does it say here? Start moving, follow the ark, and keep a distance. And I feel like God wants to say to us today that, and I'm here in faith also, that God is launching something today. He's launching the next thrust. Yes. Or combining your strength, rallying your strength, even in your own spiritual life. It's always great where it says sanctify yourself. That can be like wash your clothes, wash yourself, cleanse yourself, change, get ready. And it actually means sanctify. It means set yourself apart anew to focus on the goal. And it's a new beginning. I'm so happy for a new beginning. I always make new beginnings. New beginnings. If we have a new year, new day, it's rallying ourselves, sanctifying ourselves. And I really believe God wants to say to the church and to all of us, this word sanctify, it means to separate yourself from certain things, but separate yourself or set yourself apart for certain things. And so I believe today is a great day. It's an opportunity to sanctify yourself, to really see what things you want to lay aside. What are the old things? I'm a little older than some of you, most of you probably. And I'm always saying that's the old. I'm not in the old. Whatever I've reached in the past, I'm not going back there, and I'm not living on the past victories or mistakes. I may have experienced a lot in the past, but that is, I'm not looking backwards. And sanctify yourself means let that go. The good, the bad, the mistakes, your experiences, your disappointments, your discouragements, let it go. Sanctify yourself. Wash yourself. If there's anything today in your life that you really know would just be a weight on your life, this is a great day to make a cut and sanctify yourself. And here it says, sanctify yourself, because tomorrow God is going to do miracles among you. I believe our tomorrow, the tomorrow of this church, the tomorrow of you, the future is shaped. We actually create our future. It's not just going to happen. And so sanctify yourself means lay aside the past and separate yourself, set yourself apart for the purpose of God, for this coming year, for this new season. Rally yourself together, pull yourself together, get yourself, I have to tell myself this all the time, get yourself focused and make a new thrust. How many are happy you can make a new thrust? We don't just have to keep moving on. We can always rally. And so Joshua called out to the people, sanctify yourself. And they were all going to move forward together. And that's so on my heart for this church. We're going to see it more and more. I believe God is calling you to separate yourself from certain things, but to God's goals for your life, but for this church in this city of London, this special square. I believe God's given you a really high mountain to take. Amen. Where some giants are. Right. Where some kings of giants are. And God is not just the God of the past that did miracles in the past. Tomorrow, the future, God wants to do miracles among us. Hey, I'm coming in faith to hear. And I'm coming to see something new tomorrow. We can create our tomorrows. You can create and lock in and say, God, I'm separating myself for your purpose for this season. I'm going to lay aside anything that would trip me up. I've given my life now, Mike and I have been on the mission field, as he said, 34 years. That's a long time to keep your fire going. And to keep your faith strong. But I have covenanted with God and committed to God. These next 7 years belong to God to do. I'm hoping to launch and to be involved in some of God's breakthroughs in this hour. I always give him a certain section. So I have a 7-year vision, a 7-year commitment. I'm not settling down for 7 years. And I hope after 7 years, I'll give the next 7 years. But I want the will of God. And so sanctify yourselves. And I really believe God put that word in my heart for this church. For tomorrow, God is going to do miracles among you. If we rise to the challenge, the opportunity that's here now. Hey, I don't believe history's written. It's being written. We can write it. What do we want to see God do? What can we believe for? And what are we willing to pay the price for? What we'll give ourselves to, what we'll unite for personally and together will create our tomorrows. God didn't just write everything. He's given us unbelievable promises and opportunities. We pull them down. We take them. We say, that's mine. We say, I'm going for that. And we set our course with God. And so, God said also, keep your distance. Get ready. The presence of God, the ark, his throne, his glory, his place where his voice is heard. It's time. He's moving forward. And I believe that for this church. Get up. He's moving forward. Get up. The ark is moving on. And we're going with him. And he said, keep a distance. And that's also a word I felt like God put on my heart. Keep the distance. Don't run ahead of God. Don't lag behind. Somewhere in the Psalm 32, it says, don't be like the horse and don't be like a mule. And the horse, you have to hold the horse back because he's always wanting to run ahead. And some of us always want to run ahead, like I used to when you're young. But of course, after a while, being held back so long, maybe I become a mule. But anyway, the horse, don't be like a horse and don't run ahead. Don't make your own plans. I believe for this church here, God is forming you. Keep the distance. Keep your eye how God is going to lead. Don't just run ahead like a horse. Don't be like the mule that you have to say, come on, and they're so stubborn, they won't move. And you have to pull. The horse you have to pull back, and the mule you have to pull forward. Come on now. Get with it. Let's get up. Move a little. You know, the mule hardly wants to move, and they're stuck there. And they're stubborn. Yeah, like a donkey. Stubborn, rebellious nature. A mule stands for a stubborn, rebellious nature. Don't be like the horse, and don't be like the mule, but be like a sheep. He calls your name and he goes in front of you and ahead of us, and he'll lead you with his eye upon you. The Bible says he'll lead you with his eye upon you. So God has his eye on this place and on your life. Look, keep your focus on God because he's forming. I love that. God is a potter. I don't think he has everything, and it's taking shape, what he's building here. It's taking shape. It's being formed. He's putting things into your life. That's why keep your eye open. Be flexible. Be formable. When God puts his finger somewhere and is trying to move somewhere, let him do it. And move with God so you don't waste time. Because there's tomorrow, God wants to do miracles, miracles, wonder miracles in this place. And we sanctify ourselves, commit yourself, dedicate yourself, make a new beginning today. Cleanse yourself from anything that's a bad attitude, that's a complaining attitude, that's a rebellious attitude, that's a distracted attitude. Let go and change your clothes. I love that in the Bible. You can change your clothes. That means you can change your identity. Put on a whole new outfit. Say, that's old. That's old fashioned. That's old style. And that doesn't fit. I'm not there anymore. I'm fresh. I'm coming into the thing God's doing today. I'm in the miracle. We sang that. He's creating. We can create our future. Woo! Okay, I want to just give you a little vision in Haggai, because he also called the people to assemble, to sanctify themselves, to commit themselves to the work of God. And I would be so happy this weekend if we really do launch, because September is also the Hebrew beginning of the year. In September, the Jewish year starts in September. So September is a time of launching. People come back from their vacations, that year's over, and you're starting again. You're making a new thrust. And I really believe God wants us to rally and make a thrust into the next level, into the next phase for what God has. And Haggai also was a prophet that God sent to rally the people to a new beginning. And when they responded, it released the blessings of God. Woo! I want the blessings of God. That makes life easy. For anything that's easy and blessed. So Haggai and Zechariah were two prophets that were prophesying at the same time. Haggai was an old man. He prophesied for 3 months, and Zechariah was a young man. Now that's a great combination, old and young. That is gonna catch on fire. Because they always say, if you're gonna build a big fire, get a lot of old big logs. They burn slow. And get a lot of twigs and new fresher sticks, and they go up quick. So the young, you can get them excited and they go up quick, and the old will keep on burning slow and steady. Okay, so Haggai came, and the people had gotten discouraged and distracted. They had come back from captivity with a vision to build the temple anew, and there was opposition. And it was a really difficult time in the time of the nation. And sometimes when things are difficult and people see all kinds of trouble coming, they have the self-protective attitude and they try to really hold their life together, and they adopted a every man for himself mentality. And they were just focused on their own needs and the needs of their family. And they were letting the vision of God that God called them to do, it wasn't moving. They started in faith, but you have to continue in faith and end in faith and bring it through what God's called you to do. And that's the key. You can start. Many start, but the key is to keep at it till you get the breakthrough and finish it. And so the people were distracted. They were focused on themselves. They were focused on their own needs. They were building their houses. They were building their families. They were preoccupied. And Haggai comes and says, take a good look at your life. Think about it. And he opened their eyes and it said, you have been great. You have great ambitions for yourself, but nothing has come of it. They had great ambitions for themselves. They were just trying to take care of themselves, but they were not focused, sanctified. They weren't sanctified for God's miracles. And so Haggai calls them and he says, what does he say? Oh, yeah. Anyway, he tells them to get back to work. And it says the governor, the high priest Joshua, and all of the people really listened to the voice of God. When God sent the prophet Haggai to them, they paid attention to him. In listening to Haggai, they honored God. I like that. It says they really paid attention to what the prophet was saying. And when they listened to the prophet, they honored God. They took that correction. They took that word and they received it and they sanctified themselves, set themselves apart again for the purpose of God. Hey, I say to God every day, God, I am on this earth for one thing, for your purposes to be fulfilled. That's why I'm living. That's what I've bitten into like a mad dog, and I'm not giving it up. Because there's purposes in this generation. There's battles to fight, but there's great victories to win. There's great victories to win. There's an incredible opportunity right now, especially when the world is shaking with fear. This is our greatest opportunity. There's no day like it. The world is not comfortable right now. The world is anxious. Actually, even in Joshua's day, the enemies were so afraid of God's people. Hey, I think the devil's shaking. Don't think all this worship and prayer, not just only here, but around the world, around the city. Don't think that's not doing something. Hey, there's big cracks coming in all of these strongholds. This age is going down. And we are the new age, already here, the kingdom in us. And it is an incredible time to be bold, to be courageous, to be fearless, to be full of hope. And so they listened to Haggai and they honored God. Then Haggai, God's messenger, preached God's message to the people. And he said, God says, I am with you. This is how God got Zerubbabel, Joshua, and all the people moving. Got them up, working on the temple of the God of the angel armies. Okay, now I want to just go to chapter 2, because these are some incredible words. They got up, they got moving, they got back to work, they got focused, they got sanctified. All of the leaders, all of the priests and worshipers, and all of the people in unity. Mike spoke about unity. There's no way to win victories unless we all sanctify ourselves to the purpose of God in the place where we're at. Not half-hearted. Like Mike said, the Joshua generation, they're not observers. They're participants. The day of the observers is over. We're all players on the field. Being trained for the area. I love that when it says the walls of Jericho fell down and everyone went straight in front of them. See, they won the victory together. But where God has called you to extend the kingdom in your neighborhood, whatever vision he has, everyone then can go forward. in the course that God sets. So, anyway, Haggai is prophesying some more, and he says, is there anyone here who saw the temple the way it used to be, all glorious? That was Solomon's temple, the most glorious temple, and there were some older people that had seen that glory before they were taken into captivity. And they come back, and what they started, it seemed, now what do you see? Not much, right? It was just a very small beginning. There wasn't much to see, and it didn't have the glory of the great temple of Solomon. And so that also put a discouragement in, because they were thinking how glorious it used to be and how small and little it is now. And so, just like it says also, Zechariah said the same thing, don't despise the day of small beginnings. He said it about the same temple to the same people. Don't despise the day of small beginnings. I just want to say something. God always starts with a small seed. Amen. Yes, he does. Do you know if this group of people here would really rally together and sanctify themselves, because tomorrow God's going to do miracles? Set yourself apart. Join and unite your strength together. Just this core group of people could get things moving incredibly. God always starts with a small core. But if it has life in it, and if it has God's word in it, a seed always grows. And if it falls into the ground and dies, it'll produce 100-fold. It's God has incredible possibilities. So Haggai said, so get to work. This was the word of the Lord. Get to work. Oh, get to work. Hey, that was the same word that God said to Elijah when he was depressed and discouraged and he wanted to die. He wanted to go to heaven. He said, I've done so much for you. I've just killed all those prophets, and now I'm finished. Take my life. And he was depressed. And what did God say to him? The same thing. Get to work. Get back on the track. Rally yourself. Get back in the way. So God says here, so get to work, Zerubbabel. God is speaking to you. Get to work, Joshua, son of Jehoshadak, the high priest. Get to work, all you people. Yes, get to work. Why? For I am with you. The God of the angel armies is speaking. Put into action the word I covenanted with you when you left Egypt. I'm living and breathing among you right now. Don't be timid and don't hold back. God covenanted with them when they left Egypt to be their God and to work in them by his Spirit. The Holy Spirit is here in us. He's abiding in us. That's the promise of God, by my Spirit. And I believe God wants to fill all of us today anew with the Holy Spirit. Just fill us, cleanse ourselves, sanctify ourselves, put off the old clothes, the ripped clothes, the dirty clothes, whatever. Be sanctified, set apart, and strengthened and filled anew with the Holy Spirit, raising us up, quickening us, giving us the mind of God, giving us the thoughts of God, taking us into that creative realm of what's possible with God, lifting us up to really build our future, to write it now for the purposes of God and the kingdom of God. So he says, but this is what I really like. Verse 6, this is what the God of the angel army said. Before you know it, I will shake up sky and earth, oceans and fields, and I'll shake down all the godless nations. They'll bring bushels of wealth, and I will fill this temple with splendor. God of the angels' army says so. I own the silver. I own the gold, decrees the God of the angel armies. This temple is going to end up far better than it started out, a glorious beginning, but an even more glorious finish, a place in which I will hand out wholeness and holiness, decree the God of the angel army. Whoa! Sanctify yourself. Tomorrow, I'm gonna do miracles, wonders. Hey, there's a great tomorrow for the church. And here we see God decrees a little while, and I'm gonna shake up everything. I'm gonna shake all the nations. Hey, listen, if this word has ever been about to be fulfilled, it's today. Hey, it's a little while. It's already starting to shake. But let's not be surprised. The godless nations are gonna be shaken. Their foundations are gonna shake. And then God says, when that happens, he says, I'm going to shake it. The wealth is going to fall into your hands, and I'm going to fill my house with glory. That's what I've carried in my spirit for years and years and years. That's why I am not afraid if things are shaking, because God says, I'll shake the nation, says the Lord, and fill my house with glory. Amen. The end time glory will be greater than the beginning glory. Amen. Hey, do you believe it or not? Yeah. Do you believe the end time glory of God in the church? It's gonna be greater than at the day of Pentecost with 120 people in one place. It's gonna be a worldwide glory. But if we're afraid, if we're not sanctified, if we're just in our own agenda, if we're just seeking to keep ourselves afloat, we will not be ready. Hey, and God is raising up. I have some other scriptures that are incredible. Hope I keep you awake. This is the day, not just where we're going to walk with the foot soldiers, but God is getting people ready to run with the horses. Amen. Hey, and you got to be in shape spiritually. Amen. You got to have vision of what's going on. Amen. I'll shake the nation, says the Lord, and I'll fill this house with glory.
Amen.
Wow. And the wealth of the nations, the silver and the gold, is mine. Get ready. Get in the next dimension. This conference is called Overcoming Faith. Faith that taps in to another dimension. But it's a sanctified people willing to separate themselves for the purpose of God. Amen. For the glory of the King. Amen. For the Lamb. For the saints. For the harvest. For the lost. Amen. They're not just seeking to survive. I have to preach that to myself every day. I make the choice. God, I'm not just surviving and trying to somehow make it to the end, which I'm trying to do, make it to the end. But I'm believing to tap in and run with the horses in this hour. I believe the greatest days of glory and power and this body of Christ coming alive, going into the neighborhoods. Hey, when the shakings are coming, that we're ready. And listen what this also says, what we read. Well, I'm going to read this again. This temple is going to end up far better than it started out. This church also is going to end up far better than its beginnings. But the worldwide body of Christ, the temple of God, where he dwells in the midst of his people, it's going to end up better than it started. It'll have a glorious finish. And in this place, in the place where God dwells among his people, in the churches, whatever kind of church it is, house church, church, anywhere, I will give peace, shalom, wholeness, and holiness. Hey, the doors are going to be swung open in the church. And the Bible says also in the book of Acts that in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, there will be deliverance. The churches are going to be refuge centers. The churches are going to be places where people can come in the shaking. And we are going, God's going to give wholeness, wellness. That's what the whole world wants. In Germany, they're on the wellness trip, the total wellness trip. And we have the wholeness for people and the holiness. Holiness is actually being made well. Holiness is not something really difficult. It's something wonderful. Holiness means all our broken places are being made whole again and being healed. So in God's house, he's going to be healing and making people whole, giving that shalom peace, that total well-being, and that total peace and healing and prosperity from the inside out in the presence of God. And in this community, see, you are more than just an individual living in victory. God is forming a community of revival, with a community of a spirit among you, that when people come in this place where God's glory is, hey, I just thought of something, must be God. When the angels sang, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace. When God gets the glory in the highest, where the glory of God is, there's peace to men. There's peace, wholeness, holiness. And this is a community. If you today hear this word, sanctify yourself. Because tomorrow, God wants to do miracles here. And if we're giving ourselves to this vision of God, God has a vision. I love that. I read a book once when I was young. It was called God's Dream. And when I realized God has a dream for his people, I said, oh, God, I want to be part of your dream coming to pass. So they actually got up and they got, it says here, out of their foot-dragging, half-hearted efforts. They put that away. Foot-dragging. That sounds like the mule again. Say, I'm not a mule. I'm not dragging my feet, and I'm not half-hearted. And then, anyway, it says in chapter 2 at the end, 18 and 19, and the prophets prophesying, they had gotten to work, and they had already been working, I think, around 3 months, and it says, now think ahead from the same date, the 24th of the ninth month, think ahead from when the temple rebuilding was launched. Has anything in your fields, vine, fig tree, pomegranate, olive tree, failed to flourish? From now on, you can count on a blessing. I like that. Think ahead. Now just think. He says think. Think about what you're doing. Think. Am I being effective? Am I really accomplishing anything? Think about it. And he says, from the time you got up and you started to work on the temple, think about it, from the time it was launched. Now, that jumped out at me because I had that word in my spirit. God wants to launch something today. Hey, let's launch a new beginning. Amen. Let's launch that we're sanctifying ourselves, because tomorrow God is going to do miracles. Not just here, in the whole world. It's coming. Amen. And we're going to be a part. Amen. You're in the center of one of the key nations. You're in the center of one of the key cities on the earth. Amen. And you're right in the center. Yes. Whoa, you are chosen. Amen. For something incredible. Look around. We may look little and small and ordinary and whatever else. But remember, his spirit's with us.
Yes.
God delights in taking the foolish. He delights. If we trust in him, we're connected with unbelievable possibilities. So from the day the temple building was launched, today's a launching, you get to sanctify yourself. From the day it was launched, from now on, you can count on a blessing. Count on favor. Count on favor on your personal life from today on. When you sanctify yourself, when you rise to work and put your hand to the work, you can count on a blessing. Amen. Starting to flourish. Amen. Hey, I don't want to waste my time. I want to see flourish and growth and advance.
Amen.
Yes. For God.
Yes, Lord.
And for the blessings of people. So from that day on, you can count on a blessing. Now here, I'm just going to read the end. I have to get going. I still had a lot of great verses to say. I told Les I don't think we should take a break, but okay. So now, God's message came to Haggai again. He said, speak to Zerubbabel, the governor. I'm about to shake up everything. I still believe that's really prophetic right now. Because I just heard the news this morning. Recession is coming to England just like 1948. It sounded terrible, but could be. I'm about to shake up everything, to turn everything upside down and start over from top to bottom. Overthrow governments, destroy foreign powers, dismantle the world of weapons and armaments, throw armies into confusion so that they end up killing one another. And on that day, this is God's message. I will take you, O Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel. Now, Zerubbabel was the governor of Judea, of Jerusalem there. He was in the lineage of David. He's also in the lineage of Jesus, the Messiah. He was one of David's grandsons. So he was in the kingly line. And I believe this is for the church, the kings and the priests. He says, I will take you, O Zerubbabel, as my personal servant, and I will set you as a signet ring, the sign of my sovereign presence and authority. I've looked over the field and chosen you for this work, the message of God of the angel armies. In that day, when everything is shaking, I've chosen you. And I'm going to make you my personal servant on the earth, like my signet ring, stamp of authority. We, the church, he's made us kings and priests. He's given us his authority. In that day, he is going to use us to really stamp and seal and release kingdom authority and healing and salvation. We're going to bless, we're going to stamp, we're going to seal. Get ready. Believe it. Amen. Believe God's chosen us for a day like today. And we're not going to be sleeping. I had a vision when we were in Germany a few months ago. And there's so many battles and struggles in the church, you know, and you hear of this and attacks and sickness and everything. And the ministry that Mike and I were at, that also went through so many battles. But we were back there recently, and it was so cool. I had this thought, or I saw this picture, and there was a door that opened up. And I felt like God said, I'm opening up a great effective door. And this door swung open, and the devil thought, I've wiped them all out. I've wrecked their faith. I've wrecked their marriages. The devil wasn't even expecting anything. And when the door swung open, you know, like one of those movies like Braveheart or Lord of the Rings, and then all of the troops were behind the door, and when the door swung open, they gave this huge shout of victory, and they were all there. All the ones the devil thought he wiped out, they were still there.
Amen.
They were still standing.
Amen.
Like Caleb. And they were there. And they had that shout of victory, and they were rallied, and he got a shock of his life. Hey, the devil's tried hard to wipe out so many people. Tried hard to wipe me out. And I'm still here. Praise God. Amen. And I'm ready for this day. Amen. I'm ready for it. I'm not trembling in fear. I believe God for the greatest glory the church has ever seen. Hey, he's tried hard probably to wipe you out. He's tried hard to take your faith. He's tried hard to stamp you down. He's tried hard to discourage you, to kill you. He tries to steal, kill, and destroy. Hey, it's a real battle. I'm sure you've noticed. But we are coming into resurrection life and power. And, you know, crossing over the Jordan, the Joshua generation, that's exactly what it is. They crossed through death and they came out. The end time army is the army living in resurrection, power, and victory. And if you've been through death and come out again, you're in a different quality of life. The life of God is increasing. That's why someone said the devil can try his hardest, but it's never enough. Because we rise up in a greater degree of dimension of life. Because we have eternal life in us. The life of Jesus Christ. So, everything's going to be shaken, but God has his people. And in the place, there will be a refuge. There'll be refuges for people from the storm and from the winds. We can only hope that they'll fall right into our hands, the spoils. What is the wealth of the nations? I just had this thought. Maybe the wealth of the nations, it's not just the riches, but the people. The precious people. That is what makes a person wealthy. Children, fruitfulness, blessing others, that's true riches. So the wealth of the nations is going to be released in this day. Okay, I had one more point. Can you take one more point? Okay, this is also a little longer point, but it's an incredible point, and I just want to say it for all of you, because I have this also so on my heart for this group of people, so I definitely want to get this other point out. And that point is, Mike kind of mentioned it too. So the first, these were my two points that I already said, and then I'm coming to my third. My two points were, the ark is crossing over, get moving, but keep the distance. Don't run ahead, don't lag behind. Stay really with what God is doing. Follow it, watch it, let it come to pass. Stay together. The second point was, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow God's going to do miracles. And then we did Haggai to show what that could maybe mean to sanctify ourselves and the blessings and the miracles. And now my last point is found in Joshua. Oh, this is great. This is great. Great vision and promise that I am believing for all of us and for me. Joshua 23, at the end of the book. This Joshua gave a speech to all the people when he was a very old man and he knew his time was up, and he gathered them all together and he reviewed their history after they had fought all these battles. And the book of Joshua is city taking, city after city after city after city after city after city. And that's why I believe God said the Joshua generation today we're taking cities. Anyway, verse, He says, I'll just read a little, two and three. I'm an old man. I've lived a long time. You have seen everything that God has done to these nations because of you. He did it because he's God, your God. He fought for you. Remember what Mike said, the vision of Joshua? The commander with the drawn sword. That means it's time to fight. So he fought for you. Now, verses 9 and 10. God has driven out superpower nations before you. God has driven out superpower nations before you, and up to now, no one has been able to stand up to you. Think of it. Think of it. Hey, they all say think of it. Hey, it's not bad to think. Think of it. One of you single-handedly putting 1,000 on the run. Because God is God, your God, because he fights for you just as he promised you. Now, this was the point. Think of it. One of you has put 1,000 to flight. Think of that army of Joshua. One of them was so strong in God and so, and they had a whole army of these strong people, that one of them put 1,000 to flight. Joshua said, how could you have done it unless it was God who fought for you? Now, this is what I believe for this church and for this group here, because you are a launching group. You are some of the key people in the church. You are some of the people that God really wants to bring in to his foundation of this church. Some of the carriers and formers of the revival quality of faith and vision, you will be the carriers. And he says, think of it. One of you was so able to put 1,000 to flight. Now, I believe strong breakthrough centers are centers where there's strong leadership, but strong people. Yes. Now, what Mike was saying this morning, the end time body of Christ is going to be equipped and trained for the work, for the works of God. And I believe God wants to give you the vision that you are going to become so strong, so developed, so skilled, so trained, so equipped, so able with God, because God is with you, that each one will become a key leader to multiply, to carry, to lead. And I see that God has really giftings and strategies, and that's what will multiply. And God, what I find so interesting is some nationalities, like a lot of countries in Asia, they have just a big emphasis on the community, the family, the community. There's thousands of people, and the most important thing is the whole group. In the Western world, we have a lot of emphasis on the individual, and they live sometimes a lonely, isolated life. But there's an emphasis on being an individual, not so much family, not so much community, each one in themselves, each one strong, each one developed. That's why sometimes in the Western world, you do have difficulty with unity because everyone is so developed in their own. But I believe that's the key to the kingdom unity, not to keep everyone weak so we can have unity. And not everyone an individual strong for themselves, but everyone strong, joined to the head, getting life from the head, connected with the head, everyone strong, and yet taking that strength and keeping it together in a community. Committed, strong people out of love going together in a great force, that one of that army could put 1,000 to flight. And yet, he didn't say, I don't need the rest of you, I'll just fight on my own. He was part of the troops, in the ranks, knew our place. Hey, there's room to develop our own gifts and talents, and yet keep it connected, committed, and for the entire benefit. But I do believe God does want to raise up individuals that have strong faith and use that to stay together. Now, Mike and I have proved these principles a little bit. We went to Germany fresh out of Bible school. I was 21 years old, only saved 4 years. He was, I don't want to say a total mess, drug addict. Couldn't even think when he got saved. but it's true. Not when he came to Germany. He was also only saved 4 years, fresh out of Bible school. We didn't even know each other then. We met on the mission field. And they taught us in Bible school. These were the crazy days. I would never really do this to some young people, but they taught us in Bible school, live or die, sink or swim, we will serve the Lord. And they just said, go into all the world, just go. You know, jump in. If you sink, you sink. If you swim, you swim. I went to Germany when I was 21. I didn't know one German. I had no church behind me because I was just saved. All I knew was I went to Bible school, and we kind of just jumped into Germany. And I just want to prove today, look, I didn't drown. I'm still alive. I swam. Now, and God did miracles. And we were able, by the grace of God, at the end, really towards the end, we had a team. We had a Bible school, a conference center. It was a missions base. And our vision was to get the Germans, a new German army, we always said, not the old German army, but a dedicated, humble German that God wanted to use to bring salvation and healing into the world. And that was our vision, to raise up the Germans. And in the end, we had a team of about 60 people. But they were really a very committed, sacrificial, united team. 60 only. And we were able, because we put our strengths together, and many of them had been with us 10, 15 years, so they were really developed in their areas of either worship or youth ministry or children's ministry or whatever, teaching ministries, but we put all of our strengths together and kept it united. And these 60 people, it was incredible what 60 people were able to carry. We had conference after, we had a hall for 1,000 people. We had 1,000 people coming all the time. We had worship conferences. We had conferences. We had Bible schools. We had a Bible school. We had everything. And these were 60 people carrying all of this. Out of those 60 people, there was incredible blessings going. But the 60 people were developed people, put their strength together, committed together for the purpose in that place. And, you know, it's incredible what you can do in a team. If everyone puts their giftings and anointings and stays together to create that atmosphere. That's what I call a breakthrough center or an apostolic center, where there's many different giftings, like these people that are 1,000, but they stay with the whole troop. And that, what Mike was saying, that concentrated light joined together can break through steel. There's incredible power to be released with God and with each person developing and yet committed in a unity. I am for strong people, but I'm also for strong commitment. That's why I think marriage is also a good deal, because I'm for a strong wife and a strong husband. But committing together to help each other, to complement each other. Not one has to be weak so the other is strong. Both developed in the feminine, the masculine, the gifts that God has. And then blending that together, helping each other with the strengths. And to me, that is a great, great blessing. Okay, I just wanted to... Then, those were Joshua's people. Now, I wanted to just really quick, this is my same point, David and his mighty men. I just want to look at these for a minute because I want to show you something. Joshua had an army, and David also had mighty men. And this is what God is doing today. He's raising up teams with mighty men and women. And he wants to encourage you to really use your spiritual muscles and bring something to pass. You're not here just as a spectator. You're here to participate in creating a victory, breakthrough, glory temple for God. And you're an important part to develop. Okay, 1 Chronicles, if you want to read it when you're on your own tonight, 11 and 12, chapter 11 and 12. But it's also incredible. It talks about David's mighty men. And there was 30 of them, and there was three that were the special close to David. There was three of the chiefs, and then there was 30 mighty men with David. They linked arms with him as he took up his kingship, with all Israel joining in, helping him become king in just the way God had spoken. And then he lists the different mighty men, what they did. Now, I believe there's going to be people in this church who are going to open certain doors. I heard someone here has a real vision for the Muslim world. I heard there's someone here, and I can really see all this, has a vision for the working people in London here, the business people, the rich people. God is going to develop people in that are going to really be mighty men who can fight. And then they did exploits. You can read about, I'll just read about this one just to let you hear how cool it sounds. 22 to 25. Benaiah, son of Joadiah, was a mighty man with many exploits to his credit. He killed two famous Moabites. He climbed down into a pit and killed a lion on a snowy day. And he killed an Egyptian, a giant, 7.5 feet tall. So he killed a lion. He went down into the pit on a snowy day in the worst circumstance imaginable. And he did an exploit for God. Hey, there's going to be mighty people developed where you are going to do an exploit for God. Now, I just want to just go over here in chapter 12, 8 to 15. This is so cool. Put yourself, claim this for yourself. It says there were some from different tribes. They came to David and they sent David their mightiest warriors to help him become king. Just like God said. Anyway, from the Gadites. And I also believe there's different nationalities here that are going to be key people to bring others from your nationality in. There's different key people here in neighborhoods that are going to do exploits in their neighborhood. God wants to really raise up your strength, your heart, your gifts, and really develop them for the kingdom. And it says there were Gadites who had defected to David at the wilderness. They came to him not when he was king. They came to help him establish the kingdom when he was still in exile and fleeing. And it says they were seasoned and eager fighters, seasoned warriors. Old war. They were eager fighters. Hey, you have to have an, I don't want to say an aggressive spirit, but you have to not just live defensive, you have to also live offensive. Or you have to have a spirit to advance, take ground. You know, that's the original blessing of creation. God took Adam and Eve and he said, be fruitful. He didn't just say, stay where you're at. He said, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and conquer anything in the way. He charged them in the very beginning. Increase, take over, spread out, extend my kingdom, bring me, fill the earth. So we were created to advance. Or we could say we were created with a mission. That's in us. We like to spread out, develop, create, you know, and that's the blessing. And so these people were warriors, and it says they knew how to handle shield and spear. So these are these warriors, Joshua's warriors, David warriors. They could handle the shield. They were able to, they were so on the alert that anything that was shot against them, they could quench it. You know, you've seen the Braveheart movie where the arrows are coming with fire and they all lift up their shield and put it over their heads and all the arrows are quenched. They were skilled with the shield. When the devil shot something to confuse them, shot something, they quenched it. They said, no, I don't take that. That's not from God. And they resisted it. They were able to really use that shield, and they were skilled with the sword. And so we all know the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. Jesus was that mighty warrior in the wilderness. The devil came and he tried to confuse him. He used the Word of God. He did everything, but Jesus just shot right from the hip. It is written. It is written. And he could cut through, and they were strong. They were developed. Hey, when I first went to Germany, I said I was so young. It was such an oppressive nation. It was so heavy. It was so hard to even for me to breathe spiritually or lift up my head. I always felt like I was being pushed down to the ground. And the devil always came and said, just go home. Just go home. No one really sent me out. I could have left. I was their free will. Just go home. And then he also came and said, what do you think you can do? I mean, I was with two other young girls. I was the oldest of them. And what do you three think you can do? Just go home. You can't make a difference. You're not going to do anything here. Well, we decided that what we experienced of the reality of God in the Bible school, in our lives, we decided that was the reality. And that it wasn't just possible to do it in the Bible school. That it was also possible to do it in this place. And so we started to just take that word of God. And I mean, really, just proclaim it. Every day, we just proclaim it. Every day, we just proclaim it. And as we began to say it, vision and faith started to grow in our hearts. I mean, instead of becoming weaker, we were becoming stronger because we were exercising. And for a year, day and night, we wrote the word on our apartment. We said it. We made banners. We marched. We sang like a mad dog and just kept on. After that year, you know, Caleb said, don't be afraid. They're going to be bread for us. They're going to make us strong. Do you know that the enemies, they can make you strong? You become exercised. And at the end of the year, we had won a position. We were over the oppression. We broke through. We created something different. We said, no, we're not going to live under that oppression. We're part of the kingdom. We're going to stay free and stay in joy and create that atmosphere. Amen. And it's possible.
Amen.
But you have to fight. You become trained. They were exercised with the sword and the spear. And then it says they had faces like lions, and they were quick as gazelles on the mountains. I love that. They were strong. They were fearless, faces like lions, and quick like gazelles on the mountains. They were able to spring and jump over the obstacles. They could just keep on, you know, those high mountains that look so impossible to climb. When you're in the Spirit, God can just lift you up. They were so full of God and faith that, and here it says again, they were the cream of the crop. Any one of them was worth 100 lesser men, and the best of them were worth 1,000. Those were David's mighty men. And they all kept streaming to David from all the different tribes. And this is what they said to him in verse 18. We're on your side, O David. We're committed, O son of Jesse. All is well. Yes, all is well with you. And all's well with whoever helps you. Yes, for your God has helped you and does help you. Amen. They came and they said, we're committed to you, son of David. We're ready to fight. We've been trained and we're committed. All is well with you. All is well with those who help you because your God fights for you. And if you want real prosperity, what did Jesus say? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these other things will be added to you. Because our God is fighting for us today. And so I close with that great verse that I said from Jeremiah that I wanted to read. Jeremiah 12. This has been in my heart for lately, for myself. God, I'm ready now to run with the horses. So I hope you guys are some horses. Let's run. Okay, and it says, God said to Jeremiah, verse 5 and 6, so Jeremiah, if you're worn out in this foot race with men, what makes you think you can race against horses? And if you can't keep your wits during times of calm, what's going to happen when trouble breaks loose like the Jordan in the flood? Whoa. He said, Jeremiah, when it's really calm and peaceful and you can't even keep up with the foot soldiers and you're already tired and complaining when everything's going good, what's going to happen when the storms come and it gets hard? You know, life is not a picnic. It is difficult. Life is difficult. I find it extremely challenging. And I'm sure you do too. It really is challenging. Every day. Jesus even said, every day has enough trouble. Just take one day at a time. Sometimes I've had it so hard where I really didn't know I was going. God did give me that word, just take one day at a time. And that really helped me. I took one day at a time, and I have to say, after a while, God did take me somewhere, but I didn't know where. But every day is challenging. So if you're worn out, if you're worn out when life isn't even that hard, how are we going to really do anything when things really start breaking loose and the storms come? But it's the time now to make a decision. Are we going to sanctify ourselves, really come alive to God, give ourselves for his purpose, be trained, become really courageous like the Joshua generation, be strong, be courageous. Every place you tread, I'm giving it to you. I'm going to fight with you. I'm going to go with you. I'm going to do the miracles. We can make that choice to get up and run with the soldiers. And I close. This is my final and last closing. This is something I was looking on this prophetic internet thing. Yeah, Elijah list, if anyone gets it. I don't know. Anyway, they had these prophetic painters. And there was one painting that went into me. I see it every day in my heart. I should have gotten it, but I didn't get it. You could order it. And it was gorgeous. It was seven white horses, beautiful horses, all white. And they were like jumping together. You saw seven of them. They were together. This community, this people God's raising up is a people. They're not just all doing their own thing. It was seven beautiful, strong, gorgeous white horses. And they were all jumping together like into a river. And you saw the river parting. And from heaven, there was like rain coming down on these horses. And the name of the picture was Sons of Thunder. Oh, that went into my... Because Sons of Thunder. And it was speaking about God's end time, overcoming people together. Each one strong in God, committed and sanctified, stepping together into this river of God's glory. And it was opening up, maybe it was the Joshua generation crossing over, but whatever, and opening up, and out of heaven, the rain and the blessing of God coming down.
Yes.
Oh, when I saw that, that is the picture of what God is bringing forth. And you can say, God, you've chosen me. I'm there. I'm being trained. One of us, the least of us, is worth 100. Isn't that incredible? And the greatest is worth 1,000. If we really commit. Let and take that word. Focus on Christ. You can carry Jesus out into the world. Everything in your life becomes meaningful and part of your training. Everything becomes part of your developing. And your whole life becomes a worship. Everything you do is sanctified for one purpose. So let's just stand up. It was a great day. And who believes God wants to launch something fresh in their lives, but something with us together in this super city of London? What a super city, really. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just lift up your voice. Ask God. Say, God, I'm with those troops. God, I'm rallying to David. I'm committed, determined, and loyal. I'm with you, Son of David. I'm with you, Jesus. I'm come to you to help turn the kingdom to you that God has promised. We are here for the kingdom. I'm sanctifying my life for the kingdom. Oh, hey, if you want to say, God, I'm sanctifying my life, I'm washing it today. I'm washing it. Any uncleanness or sin, compromise that you've made today, God, put that saw in my heart. It's a new beginning. And it's for individuals and for the whole group to make a new commitment to the purpose and plan of God for this generation. And if I just wanted you to answer to God, if you feel like you say, God, I want to sanctify myself. I want to cleanse myself today. Put on new clothes. Take off the dirty clothes. Anything. I want to commit. I want to commit. I'm there. And I'm with those that help you. And you fight for us. Then just lift your hand to God. Lift your voice. Give your life. Give your life for today. So tomorrow, God is going to do miracles. Woo! Hallelujah. Oh, I say there's young people here that God is going to give a vision to and get a hold of you. And God says to you, everything is possible. God says to you, you can go up and take what I'm giving you because I give it to you. Just claim it. Take it. Bite into it. Bite into it. Bite into it. And hold on. And then there's different people from different nationalities where God has put nationalities in this city on your heart. In different neighborhoods, in different places. Oh, take that from God. Commit, commit, commit. God's going to use you to go down into difficult places and anoint you to win a victory and be developed into mighty men and women. Amen. Oh, God, Lord, we thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Let's just lift our voices that we're here for London. We're here for London. We're here. We're here. We're here. We're here. We take our stand. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, God. There's no way we could do it except you will fight for us. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hey, the anointing of God comes through commitment. Oh, and it develops. You've had such great beginnings here. Maybe they look small, but they're great. The worship is great. The songs are great. It's just the beginning. Bite into it, and it will grow into worship and breakthrough and glory. Hallelujah. Oh, God. Lord, we sanctify ourselves. Lord, we launch a new beginning. We launch something this weekend, Lord. We ask you to just take it forward. Just move it on. Lord, you form it. You form us. Lord, you create, and we go with you. Lord, I thank you. We say our eyes are on you. Lord, we know that in our own strength, what are we in front of these huge mountains? But Lord, you fight for us. You are with us. Your spirit remains with us. Oh, God, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we just seal this whole day. Lord, we just seal a launching in the spirit of the ship moving out now, moving on. Lord, we just thank you, oh God, Lord, for great things. Our eyes are fixed on you, Lord. Oh, Lord, you've done miracles, but Lord, you haven't stopped. You haven't stopped. Oh, God. The future is bright with possibilities. Hallelujah. 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 So.
Praise you. Thank you so much, Jesus. Lord, I thank you for the possibilities that is in every one of these lives in this room right now. I thank you, Father God, that not one of these people that is in this room have been set aside for nothing, for no purpose. And Father, I want to pray particularly for people who have been serving and bearing the heat of the day for a long time, Father, and have seen not that which they have longed for, and their eyes are weary from looking. And I pray today, Father, for a strengthening to come into each life in this room. Father, for new life, new fire to begin to form, Father, for new zeal, Father. I pray for a new uprising and upwelling of your spirit, Lord. I pray, Father, that vision will increase. I pray that people in this room will take hold of things that you've long promised them and they've not seen, and they've in a sense given up. And I ask today, Father God, raise them up. Raise them up. I pray today men and women will step up to the plate like never before. And they will say, Jesus, we choose to trust you. We choose to believe you. Father, just before the end of a race is often the most tiring part. And we will not be those who give up. We will not be those who yield to the temptation to not believe you. We will believe you, Jesus. We will believe you. We will see that victory in our lives. We make that proclamation tonight. We stand on that place of proclamation. We say we will see every promise fulfilled in our lifetime in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And Father, I really pray for people who have become discouraged, people who have become tired, and I pray for new life, new energy, and that can only come by your Spirit. Father, people have been battered down. I ask that you will raise them up today. I ask that you will raise them up with fresh zeal, fresh fire, fresh strength in their hands and their arms. Father, we thank you. And I want to make that declaration, Lord. We are in no doubt whatsoever of your capability of fulfilling everything that you have promised us in your word. We will stand as those who believe. And if we die in the process of standing, we will fall in the direction that you are in, Jesus. But we will not be those who give up. We will see every promise fulfilled. London will be alive with the glory of Jesus. Amen. 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 Thank you, Lord.